Please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 9. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And we look at these two verses under the title, Children of Light. As we continue our series on the letter of Paul to the Ephesians on these Sunday afternoons, you're reminded that last week we looked particularly at verse 6, touching on verse 7 briefly under the title, The Wrath of God. And we saw that as Paul writes, let no man deceive you with vain words. And many are being deceived. They're being deceived by vain words, such as evolutionary theory, false religion. And so Paul writes to the Christians, let no man deceive you with vain words. Although, of course, it is applicable to those who are outside of Christ, who have been taught the things of God from their youth, that they are not deceived with the vain words of man that you may encounter on the internet or in other ways. And then secondly, we saw the wrath of God comes. The wrath of God comes, says Paul, because of these things. And he's looking back to the things mentioned in verses 3 and 4. Fornication, all uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. He says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And then thirdly, we had the warning that follows in verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. If you're a Christian, don't participate in the sins of the children of disobedience. Don't share their sins, because there's a terrible reward that comes upon them, even the wrath of God. And we saw that those two verses are a great spur to our seeking to reach out to the lost with the gospel, because the wrath of God upon sin is found in the consequences of sin in this life. But most terribly, the wrath of God upon sin will come in the everlasting punishment of the wicked in hell. And we have a great duty as a local church to make Christ's truth known to this blinded nation, so that they may be saved from God's wrath to come and instead begin a new life to God's glory. And so this week we come to verses 8 and 9, and it is a new mini section in this chapter. But it continues to major on that theme of walking in love that we encountered in verse 2. And that verse 2 is critical for the rest of this epistle. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savour. And here again in verse 8, Paul's encouraging us, walk as children of light. And he's again reminding the saints at Ephesus what they were before they were born again. He says, for ye were sometimes, that is at one time, darkness. And then he tells them what they are now. He says, but now are ye light in the Lord. And then thirdly, he tells them what they should do. Since they are now light, they should walk as children of light. And so again this afternoon, we have three headings to look at these two verses, 8 and 9. Of Ephesians chapter 5. And each heading is just one word. And the first one is darkness. He said, for ye were sometimes darkness. And you've been told before that all of us are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in sin did our mothers conceive us. And we inherited our dark sinful nature from our parents. And that dark, sinful inheritance goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they chose to disobey God in the Garden of Eden. And you know that sin entered into the world and into human nature. And of course, when sin entered into the world, its consequences were devastating. Sin broke man's communion and companionship with God. Sin brought in suffering and bloodshed and death. Man's nature was now bent towards evil. His heart and mind were darkened. And the Apostle Paul has already vividly described the darkened state of men without Christ in this letter in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, probably just a page back in your Bibles. Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. And you'll see those two expressions, the understanding darkened and the blindness of their hearts. And those two expressions describe the non-Christian, whoever they are. Their understanding is darkened and their hearts are blind. They are darkness. Paul uses similar language in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And so Paul says, for ye were sometimes darkness. And that describes the spiritual state of all who have not yet experienced the light-giving and life-giving power of God to change their hearts and minds. But not only is the non-Christian darkness in themselves, but the darkness of their hearts and minds has a profound influence on their behaviour. Yes, there may be some restraints on the non-Christian's behaviour. A non-Christian may indeed be largely law-abiding, gentle and pleasant in demeanour, but nevertheless their heart is still deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you think of a law-abiding, pleasant non-Christian at work or as a neighbour or as a friend, they don't evidence the darkness of their heart by violence and criminal misbehaviour, but they display it when they reject Christ and his gospel. I have seen a peaceful, respectable non-Christian reject the gospel with more venom than an unrespectable, law-breaking criminal in prison. It shows the darkness of the human heart without Christ. And this state of affairs is described by the Apostle John in the first chapter of the Gospel. He recorded, he said, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Naturally, our nature is dark. Our mind is dark. Our heart is dark. And we have no natural desire to come to the light. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We have no spiritual light and we have no spiritual life. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world as a bright, shining light. But men hated the light that he brought to bear on their lives because he exposed their sin, their hypocrisy, and their darkness. But Jesus came declaring, didn't he, as we read in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wonderful words. And perhaps you've memorized them, but I bet you haven't memorized the next verse. The Pharisees responded by saying, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. They rejected him as the light of the world. And when Paul preached the gospel across large swathes of the Roman Empire, in every place there were some who believed and some who did not. And some of those who did not believe, they mocked Paul's message. They made fun of it. Others responded with outrage, violently opposing him, stoning him to death if they could, imprisoning him. And still others simply shrugged their shoulders and moved on. But what about you? Many of you have heard the good news of the gospel preached and taught. Many of you have had frequent instruction in the things of God. And yet some of you are still walking in darkness. And yet it's greatly to your benefit that you still come to chapel, that you still keep hearing the truths of the Bible. But you've experienced in your own lives the fact that merely hearing and reading the Bible and hearing God's servants preach is not enough to lead you out of that darkness into spiritual light. I still remember as a teenager hearing one or two sermons and thinking, at the end of them, how have I not been converted? The preacher preached clearly. He preached powerfully. Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." They were darkness, but now they are light. They were spiritually dead, but now they are spiritually alive. Something has happened to these Christians in Ephesus. They've undergone a tremendous transformation in their lives. Their hearts, their minds, their understandings have gone from darkness to light. The change is as much from day to night, from midnight to midday. And Paul doesn't discuss here in this verse how that remarkable change has happened. But it would be good for us this afternoon to look at how a person passes from spiritual darkness to light and from spiritual death to life. And that brings me to the second heading, creation. It is a very good thing to read and hear the Word of God. But something more than that needs to happen if we are going to be changed from those who are dark or darkness into those whom Paul describes as light in the Lord. Paul has already told the Ephesians what has happened to them and how they were turned from walking in darkness to walking in light. And we find the answer in Ephesians chapter 2. And we can begin at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, and the "you" is referring to God. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And that expression, quickened, means made alive. "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." And in the following verses of chapter 2, the apostle goes on to explain more of what has happened in the lives of those to whom he's writing. In chapter 2, verse 2, he tells them, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He's telling them that in the past they were walking in darkness. And then he says in verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Again, he goes on to describe the spiritual darkness which was common to all of us. But then he says, "But God," here is the cause of the change, it is God himself, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." If we are to undergo this great change from darkness to light, We need God to make that great change in our hearts. Of course, I'm not talking about the organ that pumps blood around our body. The heart is our innermost being, the part that makes you, you, and me, me. We need God to work in us by His Spirit, giving us spiritual life and light. In Acts 16, we read in very simple terms of the work of God in the life of Lydia. A beautifully short testimony. Two verses. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God opened Lydia's heart as she listened to Paul and Silas preaching the gospel. And in the prophecy of Ezekiel, we have a fuller description of what God does in the process of changing a person's heart as they hear His truth. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. To go from darkness to light is a dramatic change. No chemical experiment or change can match the dramatic change that is experienced in going from darkness to light and from death to life. And it needs to be a dramatic change. And it needs the almighty power of God to open our hearts and to change our hearts. Because the non-Christian's darkness is very great. It's poles apart from the Christian's light. As far as the east is from the west. As far as the north pole from the south pole. And remember, I use that word creation as the header for this part of my sermon. And creation is the most accurate and the best description of what happens when God works in a person's heart to turn them from darkness to light and from death to life. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," and that is the definition of a Christian is in Christ. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." A Christian is a new creature. God has created him anew. A Christian is a new person, a child of light, possessing spiritual life. And God works by His Spirit in a person's heart, creating that new heart. And God works at different speeds in each person as He changes them from darkness to light. For some people, the change from darkness to light can be very rapid, almost like flicking on a switch on entering a dark room. I can give you the date and the hour when I was made spiritually alive in my college room. For others, perhaps the majority, the change from darkness to light takes place gradually, like the dawning of a new day. Light comes slowly, almost imperceptibly, but the faint light of dawn becomes the first appearance of part of the sun. And then the sun rises completely above the horizon, dispelling all darkness. My father could not say exactly when he became a Christian. But it was evident he was a Christian. And whilst it may be nice to pinpoint a date, a place, and even a time, it's not essential, because what matters is that the change from darkness to light has taken place. And that is what Paul writes here. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." This afternoon, many of you are probably not going to be able to put your finger on exactly when you were made a new creature. But as you look back over your life, you can say, I was at one time darkness. But now, today, I am light in the Lord. I have a living relationship with the Lord. I am united to Him. It is my desire to follow the Lord, to read His word so that I may attend to it and put it into practice in my life. Life, I have spiritual life and light. But God works at different speeds in each person. Think of a baby being born. The mother may be in labour for 2 hours, exceptionally, or 10 hours, or 2 days. But it really doesn't matter how long the labour process takes in that sense, as long as a baby is born that is alive. And the same is true of the new birth. It may not matter how long the process of changing from darkness to light takes place. The crucial question is, are you now light in the Lord? And so my third heading, light. Darkness, creation, light. The great work of God in giving us a new heart has taken place. A great transformation has occurred. For some quickly and dramatically, for others more slowly and gradually, but the new birth has taken place. And if you have been born again, born from above by the Spirit of God, you are a new creature. You don't merely have spiritual light, you are light. You have the light of God dwelling in you, in the person of God's Holy Spirit. You have a living union with Christ. You are light in the Lord. The Christian is in Christ, in the Lord. But practically, that is outworked. The Christian is a person who loves the Lord. As a Christian, you love His word. You have a love for other Christians. You love the Lord's work. You hate sin. You hate it when you fall into sin. And you hate evil and darkness. You prayerfully commit your way to the Lord. You have spiritual light through prayerful reading of God's word. And you view the events of life, recognizing that the hand of God is upon all things, working for your spiritual good. A Christian recognizes that they belong to Christ. They are united to Christ by His love. And they know that nothing can separate them from Christ and His love. Ye are light in the Lord. You have spiritual light because you are following Christ. You are proving the truth of His promise. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But the truth that the Christian is in the Lord places a great obligation upon you. Paul says, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And we know the Lord will preserve His people. Those who believe in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. But they are not to walk carelessly. The Christian should never think, because I am saved and born again, I can live as I like. Such an attitude calls into question the genuineness of your conversion. But no, the true heartfelt desire of the Christian must be, I have been saved from the wrath of God. Christ died to save me from my sins. I have been bought with a price. I must therefore glorify God in my body and in my spirit, because they belong to God. The Christian who is in Christ must say to themselves, how can I, as a child of light, walk as a child of darkness? But of course, there is a struggle. It is a daily spiritual battle to deal with the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to struggle and strive to walk as children of light. But we must adopt an attitude of determination to walk in the light as God is in the light. We need to pray for the Lord's help to walk as a child of his light. We must feed upon his word to give a spiritual nourishment for our pathway in life. But Paul's instruction here is not merely good advice, it's a command. Walk as children of light. But now, are ye light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. Paul has already exhorted the believers in Ephesus as to how they should walk. In chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." In chapter 4, verse 17, he tells us, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." In chapter 5, verse 2, he's told us, "Walk in love." And now he tells us here, walk as children of light. How are we to do that? Well, in his letter to Titus, Paul gives us a clear set of instructions in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Titus 2 verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." In other words, as Christians, we are to be actively obedient to the word of God. We are to strive actively to overcome laziness by making time in the day to read and pray. Actively striving to overcome distractions that would take our attention away from God and his word. Actively striving to overcome lethargy and tiredness, to spend time with God. Now, some of you I know are extremely busy, but nevertheless, the command to the busy as to the less busy is walk as children of light. In other words, Paul says, make walking with the Lord a priority in your life. Do you need to spend as much time as you do in making your homes and gardens as perfect and comfortable as possible? Do you need to spend as much time as you do watching television or going on the internet as you do? You must answer those questions for yourself before God. You must make your own assessment of your life and of your priorities. But God's word says, walk as children of light. The hymn writer said, "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word." Walk as children of light because God commands us to walk as children of light. And walk as children of light because we are no longer the children of darkness. The Christian is no longer held fast by the chains of sin. The Christian is no longer under the dominion of sin. We are no longer captives of Satan, But we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Part of the family of God, adopted sons and daughters of the living God. We have been so wonderfully and marvellously changed. Let us walk in the spiritual light. For as Paul says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Christian walking as a child of light bears fruit. But like natural fruit, it doesn't necessarily appear in its final state immediately. At the moment, the apple trees in my garden are in blossom, but I'm not going to find apples ready to eat tomorrow. But spiritual fruit, like natural fruit, it forms, it develops, it grows. It's seen in our everyday lives that we do possess, to some degree, those fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We may not have each of these fruits of the Spirit to the same extent. We may be bearing small and odd-shaped fruit in some of those areas, but nevertheless there'll be some evidence in our lives that we are bearing fruit, that we are evidencing the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes you may, like me, be surprised how it's possible to possess peace in the midst of difficulties. Sometimes we possess joy in the throes of sadness, that we evidence long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, that we find displays of faith and meekness and temperance in our day-to-day lives because the Spirit is at work in our hearts. What a blessing, however imperfectly, to endeavour to walk as children of light. And that is very, very important. But even more important, can you say this afternoon, in looking back on your life, I was at that time darkness, but now I am light in the Lord? Perhaps a distance as little as 6 months, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Take your pick, and you look back all those months or all those years, and you say, yes, at that time I was in darkness. But you consider your life today, and the light of God's love and the light of God's truth is in your heart and shining forth in your life. We need the Spirit of God at work in our hearts, applying the Word of God with power, changing us so that we walk in the light as God is in the light. And let us pray that God's Spirit would bless us with ever-increasing light as we go on in life, that we may bear the fruits of the Spirit in ever greater size, in ever purer forms, until we reach that glorious light in God's kingdom to come. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen.